Off, good conversation. Hopefully you've been able to make it through most of the bullet points. But let's just take a moment to hear what you discovered. What are some of the things we learn about prophecy in those verses? Let's just shout them out, right? What you learn. It's a gift of the Spirit, okay? It's for believers, right? Not unbelievers.
It strengthens.
It encourages.
Mm-hmm. Operates
I'm sorry?
Operates through his love.
Yes. Great. Anything else?
It supports one another.
Absolutely.
So we should desire it.
Good. Anything else?
It's more important than tongues.
Mm-hmm. It's for the believers. Great, great insights. That's what the scripture is telling us about this thing called prophecy. And perhaps you've had some experience, perhaps not, with this issue of prophecy, but I hope that we can slightly demystify it here in the next few minutes as well. Let's take a look at some of the biblical teaching about prophecy. You've already examined nicely what the scripture is telling us there. Among the many teachings about prophecy in the scripture, first what we know is the prophecy is to be valued. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 say, "Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt." In other words, you don't want to roll your eyes if somebody says, "I think God might have been saying this." We don't want to shove it aside and saying, "Oh, no." Now, why would we do such a thing if we think that indeed the scriptures refer to prophecy? Why would we show any contempt or push it off to the side? Well, I suppose there's a variety of reasons that it can happen. For one thing, of course, abuses that have occurred in the past. But also, prophecy is something that is sort of almost offensive to the mind. Like, how did you know that? Or, wait a minute, does this make sense? Or it's not something that's just, okay, I got this data bit here, that data bit there, therefore, it's not totally reasoned out. In other words, there's something that's a little bit beyond just analyzation that results when we experience prophecy. And of course, as evangelicals, we like to use our minds, and I know I like to use my mind, look at a Bible study and look up a concordance, go to a discussion, memorize the scripture. These are all very good things. We should do with them all. But there's also other components to our faith journey, and prophecy is one that says don't treat it with contempt, because it's one of the ways that God wants to speak. It's not the only way that God speaks to us, and it's not even the most reliable way. But don't treat it with contempt, says the scripture. Secondly, the Bible teaches that we're to seek prophecy. Because prophecy is both a gift and a practice. Like all spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy is just a matter of degree. What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at the gifts of the Spirit in the Scripture, it's my conviction that all the gifts of the Spirit are simply amplifications of regular Christian practices. Things that God calls us to do that He gives some people the ability to do at a very high level. For example, the gift of helps or serving. Well, all of us should serve one another, right? As I've often said, if we come to the end of this seminar here today, and what if Helen was to come to the front and say, "Hey, you could really help out if you would just pull your chair off the side and fold your table up." Now, it wouldn't be following the Lord to say, "I don't have the gift of help, so I can't do that." No. Only the people with the gifts of service should do that. No, I mean, all of us should serve one another. We should do that. But some people just have an extraordinarily high bent toward it and just do it joyfully and just very effectively. So it is with evangelism. All of us are to share our faith. But all of us are not going to be Billy Graham. All of us are not going to be evangelists. You know, you hear those stories from evangelists that can make you feel really horrible because, man, I didn't lead the whole plane to Christ when I was flying last time, and this person did, you know. So you feel like, oh, I'm horrible. I should never. No, you see, we're all to share our faith, but some people, God gives the ability to that they do it very effectively, and a higher percentage of people come to faith in Jesus when they share. Now, does that mean that nobody else should? No. Same thing with healing. I think we're all to pray for each other for healing. But some people, when they pray for healing, more often it seems like people are healed than norm. What is that? That's the gift of healing. So the gifts of the Spirit are all, to some level, in operation. But they're not all gifts, except because God gives some of us, for some his own reasons, abilities to do those things at an exceptionally high level. So it is with this matter of prophecy, that we all can hear from God for others. Some people will do it very regularly, frequently, and with high accuracy. And they've got that gift. Most people don't. I mean, just by definition, most people don't have any gift, you know, any in particular. You pick any of the gifts, most people don't have that one, but everybody has some gifts. The point is simply this: when it comes to prophecy, that we can practice it, understanding that some people will be really gifted, and most are not, but we all practice it. So 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So if we're going to really try to practice one, this is one that's biblical. Like, try especially this one. And in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, therefore, my brothers, kind of sums things up. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Want to do it, he says. Desire it. Want to do it. So we can practice this. I believe most people can and will be used by God in this way, in this matter of prophecy, at some point. But it's not required. It's not demanded. And none of us in our small groups should be going around the circle and saying, you haven't prophesied this month. I'm looking for you to do this today. I mean, it's not to be a demand and not to be like, you know, hey, you need to do this. No, it's just to allow the opportunity. And if we practice it, we'll get better at it. So in your group, I think it's highly likely that many of the times your group gathers, that he will want to speak to the group through somebody in your group. It won't be through everybody. You know, it won't be every single person in the group that's going to say, hey, I think the Lord's saying this. But I think a lot of the times when a group gathers, that God will want to speak to the group in some form or another, and somebody will be used by the Lord, not the same person all the time, but somebody will be able to say, I think God's saying this, and share that. So this really just teaches the importance of the body of Christ, right, as well as the need to develop everybody. Well, we could say a lot more here about the biblical teaching, and you dove into it a little bit yourself just in that passage there in 1 Corinthians 14. So we'll, for sake of time, just stop there at the moment. But let's talk about evaluating a word that comes from somebody when they say, I think God might be saying this. Because, sometimes it's God speaking and sometimes it's not. So how do you know? Well, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Right there, you've got some markers of a prophetic word. If this word is not strengthening or encouraging, and it does not comfort, then you have to think, maybe it's not really from God as a prophetic word. I know that in the past, as I've looked at words I think really did seem to be from God, that they have been that. In fact, I have a practice. Whenever I have somebody tell me something that I think is a prophetic word, I make it a point to write it down in my journal the best I can, word for word. And then after I write it down, I bracket it in red so that when I go back through my journal at the end of the year, I look at the prophetic words that came to me, and I say, how did that play out? And how's it going? And is that really from God? And it's been encouraging all over when I read those again. So for me, in case you're wondering, it doesn't happen every day, not even every week. As I look back in 2012, I think there were three or four times I got brackets in red in my journal there. But it does encourage. Why do I write it down? Because it's strengthening and encouraging and comforting. That's why I write it. How would you imagine that this would be encouraging? If you receive a word from God that comes through somebody else, and they say, how might that be encouraging? Why would that be encouraging? Any thoughts? Why might that build somebody up? Sally? Absolutely. Yeah, the nearness of God, his personal involvement in your life. He knows your address, as we like to say. And that's certainly been the case for me. And you can imagine that's the way Cheryl Harris felt when that woman shared with her at the service. You know, it does make you realize God is not distant. He's not removed from what's happening in my life. He knows what's happening. That can be very encouraging. And that's why one of the markers is that. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation. That means something that's revealed. A tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That's the thing. So that the church may be built up. That's the purpose of that which is prophetic. If it's not building up, I have high suspicions. And I got to tell you one, just this might just sort of stretch you a little bit. I have a friend of mine in Texas, and he's a good Baptist boy, right? So he didn't grow up with this prophetic stuff, right? He has a small group, and in their small group, they practice listening to God for each other as part of their group time. And that paid off for him in a particular way one day as they were getting ready to leave on vacation, their church, he and his family. He has like 5 kids or something, so they have a special van kind of thing that they can go on vacation. And they had lost one of their keys to their van, but they didn't replace it because it cost $250 or something to replace the key. So he said, no, we're not doing that. And just the night before they were getting ready to go on vacation, they lost the other key. They couldn't find it. And they had no way to get on this vacation, all 7 of them, without that vehicle. And so they were turning the house upside down, trying to find this, couldn't find the key. So at one point he decided, you know what, I'm going to call my group and say, will you pray for us to find our key? So he did that, and the group didn't say, the group members said, well, we want to come right there to your house, we want to help you with that. So the group actually assembled at his house that night. They came over to pray. And so they said, let's just listen to God together. And they did. They were just sat around the living room saying, listen to God. And one person said, I think your son took it. I think maybe your son has it like in his room somewhere. And Brian said, well, we already checked his room and couldn't find it. And said, all right, let's just listen to God some more. And so another person then said, I get this image that it's underneath your son's bed, but not just under the bed, it's tucked up under the bottom mattress where you can't see it, you have to feel it. So Brian said, what do I got to lose? So he goes up there because he's desperate, right? He wants to go on vacation really bad. So he goes upstairs, he goes under his son's bed, and he'd already looked under the bed and couldn't find it. He reaches underneath the mat, and back in the, sure enough, there it is. The son had played under his bed and wedged that key under the mattress, and he found the key and went on vacation. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what does. I mean, that was pretty astonishing, and that astonished Brian and his whole group, and it didn't happen every day, obviously, in the group, but here's the point. Brian really felt God's nearness. He really felt like God cares about what's going on in my life. You know, and that was an experience for the group. You see, that was the cool thing. The whole group together was listening together. That built up that group, the body of Christ, right there. So, does it encourage? Second marker, if you're evaluating, is this really from God or not? Number 2, and this really could be number 1, frankly, it conforms to Scripture. Does this contradict what the Bible says? If so, it's not from God. Because prophecy always will conform to Scripture. Prophecy is not equal in authority to Scripture. It doesn't surpass Scripture. In fact, I would say this, that, you know, I know that there's some believers that really struggle theologically with the idea, does prophecy really happen today? And say, I'm not really sure it does. And I would say they're right in one sense. The prophecy doesn't happen in the same way as, like, Isaiah or, you know, the Apostle Paul writing the New Testament. When we are listening to God, we are flawed, fallible people trying our best to hear the voice of God. What we discern is not equal to, like, there's no longer a thus saith the Lord like Isaiah, okay? The canon is closed, the scripture is closed. It's not equal to that. What we're talking about is our ability to kind of hear from God for the moment, from some other people, and it comes through, like I say, flawed people, and often God speaks clearly through us, and other times it's kind of muddled, and sometimes we don't get it right at all. And so prophetic words should not be like replacing our commitment to or study of the Scripture. That's one concern I have in some people, where the prophetic thing gets like elevated to the point where they don't read the Bible anymore. They just wait for somebody else to come along and say, God says this to you. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. You know, this is, you know, prophetic word is always subordinate to the Scripture. And so if there's a prophetic word, somebody says to you, I think God's saying that you should leave your wife and marry your secretary, you can be pretty darn sure that's not from God. That's not from God. Because that's against the Scripture. Okay, number three, it's going to glorify Jesus and not somebody else, not something else. Because, you know, Jesus is the point. And so he is our center. And fourthly, it will not be manipulative or controlling. Like the old classic one, God told me that you and I are supposed to get married. You know, well, that's the manipulative kind of thing. And it's unlikely. Or, you know, the Lord says you're to shut down your business and turn it over to me. You know, that's not going to be from God. So not to be manipulative, not controlling. So those are some markers. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to conform to Scripture. It's going to glorify Jesus. It's not going to be manipulative or controlling. Now, there's a lot of others that we could mark as well there. But when we're evaluating, there's some. Now, how do we do this? How do we grow in our ability to hear from God for other people? If this is something that's really new to you, don't despair. Don't worry. You know, each of us can practice this a little bit more. And, you know, it's the more we practice, the better we'll get at it, though none of us will get it right all the time for sure. So prophecy, we can grow into it. It's not realistic to think that if it's a spiritual gift, then it's just going to happen to me. So, for example, no one with the gift of teaching says, well, you know, if God wants me to teach, then he's just going to lay it on me, and suddenly I'll be just like driving down the road and start teaching because, you know, the gift comes on me. That's not the way that works, you know. That's not the way the gifts work. Same thing like with the gift of administration. Well, if I've got the gift of administration, God's just going to zap me with it, and then I'll just know how to do Excel. I'll just know how to do it because I'll have that gift. And I'll just start administrating things, you know, or gift of evangelism, you know. You have to practice that. Now, if that's the way it is with a gift, even more it is with the practice. What I mean is, most of us are not going to have the gift of prophecy. A few of you will, probably, but most, just statistically, not everybody has the gift of prophecy. But we can all practice hearing from God at times, and as we practice, then we're going to get more comfortable and better at it. So here's some practical steps on how to do it. First, invite God to speak. In time in which you have a chance to focus your attention, it's a great time to say, okay, I'm gonna let God speak. And you invite him. Say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. And then wait on him. One question I think I heard one person use when they get ready to try to listen to God is, God, what are you saying or doing right now that you want me to participate in? That's not a bad question to write down, to think about. What are you, God, what are you saying or doing right now that you want me to participate in? Because that's the beautiful thing about the prophetic, is like, it's not our deal. It's God, whatever God is doing, whatever he is saying, it's he's leading. So we're just following. What do you want? What are you saying? What are you doing right now you want me to participate in? So that means you don't have to try to work something up. You don't have to try to make something happen. You're just following the lead of the Lord, and he's the prime mover. Okay, first, invite him to speak. Second, pay attention. Mostly, God speaks in that still, small voice. In other words, it's generally not real dramatic, and so we need to be attentive. You would think that if God speaks, there'd be no way of missing it. That's simply not true. In fact, Scripture teaches quite often, he speaks in a way that only those who are really attuned to him are going to hear. What do you pay attention to? Well, first, to pay attention to words. Is there a word that comes to your mind? Like the woman who connected with me about this couple weeks ago, and this prophetic word saying, I think God's saying, get ready. I mean, that's a word, two words actually, but she was listening to that, get ready. Sometimes a scripture will come to mind, and you realize, it's not just a random time, but maybe this is for this person. So pay attention to words. Secondly, to a picture. It may be that God will influence you through a picture. I remember years ago, a woman came to me and she said, I was praying and I just had this image, and it's like a really powerful image that filled my mind of the cross. And the cross just like grew really large and big, and just people just came to the cross, and it was just, it's like God was just highlighting the cross really just major way in my life and in my image here. And she was just talking to me about it because she thought it had something to do with Crossroads Church. So she just had this big image of the cross. Well, what she didn't know was that I was just getting ready to roll out the Encounter Retreat. We're just going to start that. And that is all about the cross. The Encounter Retreat is all about pointing people, focusing people on the cross. And I think that personally, and I took what she said to me to be kind of a confirmation, because we're getting ready to start this new thing called the Encounter Retreat we'd never done before. And I think that God was speaking to that person, saying the cross is really important, and the encounter is, you know, a part of helping people connect with the cross in a powerful way. And of course, the Encounter Retreat is still impacting, changing lives in a major way here years later. So pay attention to impressions. Sometimes you can just get an impression, maybe an impression of being feeling, you know, uneasy or peace. Again, like the person who gave me that little word here a couple weeks ago, she says, I don't get the sense that it's an intensity, but more of a peaceful thing. So be ready for, like, aware of an impression. Maybe you're praying for a business deal and you get this uneasy feeling. You're thinking, is that from God? I have to check that out. Another thing you can pay attention to are physical sensations. John Weed, who was here with us, a missionary to Kazakhstan, said the first time he experienced that, he was learning to pray for other people, and he was in a prayer, in a seminar, and his ear started hurting really intensely. And he told the leader that, and it turned out that the leader said, well, it's because there's probably someone in this room has something wrong with their ear. Who is it? And the person stood up. Okay, you go pray for him, John. So John prayed for him, and the person's ear was instantly better. So what was going on? God was communicating through this physical sensation of something he wanted to do. It wasn't entirely clear. He needed to kind of practice that. Also, I should throw in one thing that's not really helpful for me, but might be for you, and that is sometimes dreams, God wants to speak to us through dreams. I mean, sometimes they're not at all from God, but sometimes they are. And I hardly ever remember a dream. I don't know why. I just wake up in the morning. I could not tell you ever what I dream. But there were a few years ago, I do remember this one time. I had this dream, just a little snippet, and I thought, I wonder if that's maybe God in that, because it was just like a week or so after we hired Dale as our executive pastor. And I was really pleased that, you know, Dale was joining our team, and I was looking forward to what that would mean for our church, but also for me personally. I thought it'd be really good things. And so just like a week after that, I had this snippet of a dream. And it was this dream of me and that somebody, I don't know, like the Lord or somebody, was reaching into my ear and pulling out lots of red tape out of my ear. I remember that. And I thought, I think Dale is going to get rid of red tape so I can hear better from God. I think that's what it was. So, I never told you that, Dale. I don't know, you might think I'm crazy. But God does, in the Bible, speak through dreams. He does do that at times. Okay, so pay attention. Thirdly, risk speaking. Because remember, this is not about you. And this is an important humbling moment about prophecy. It's not about you. So you should be ready to be a fool and to look stupid if it's going to help somebody else. It might help somebody else. It's not about you. So be humble. You might be wrong. Which is why I always encourage people to avoid using the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," or "God is saying." Now, I don't know. I'm not saying that everybody who says that is, you know, wrong, off the deep end or anything. I'm just saying you don't gain a whole lot. It's much better, I think, to say, you know, "I had this impression. Can I share it with you?" Or, you know, as we're praying, "I think the Lord may have put this on my mind. Can I share that with you?" And by the way, if you're going to somebody directly, if you kind of feel like it's for a certain specific person, it's great to ask permission. "Can I share this with you?" You know, because then they're more receptive and you're feeling more confident. So if you just say this, you know, I had this. I wonder if God might be saying, you can deliver the message without, you know, running the risk of ruining God's reputation. So one other thing, when it comes to speaking, it's important to speak. Like if you have this sense, go ahead and try it, because if you try it, that's the way you'll grow. At the same time, let me give you a little caution here. You don't need to say everything that you might hear, all right? Because there's some things that God might tell you that you don't really need to say right now. Why would he tell you? Sometimes it's so that you'll pray for that person. You know, I remember talking some months ago with James when he was actually, when he was still one of our, still our lead youth pastor. And I remember him saying, I didn't ask him if it's okay to say this, so, you know, I might have to ask forgiveness later. But I'm going to say that he is a good example of this. Because he's told me that there are times that he would be praying for a student and an image would come to a mind of a sin that he thinks, I think maybe that student is involved in this thing. Now, he doesn't go to that student and say, "Hey, God said you're doing this, and you better cut it out." You know, no, he doesn't do that. But he prays for that person, and very frequently later, it kind of comes out what's going on, and he's able to be ready, not surprised, and minister to that person, that student, effectively. I'm just saying that you don't have to say everything all the time. If you get a sense that, was this going to be something that I'm just supposed to pray for, or am I supposed to say? Most of the time, be ready to speak, but use the golden rule. If you'd want to hear it, speak it. If you wouldn't want to hear it, say, "God, are you sure? Should I say this? Maybe I shouldn't say this." Be kind, you know, when you speak, and kind of speak in a warm tone. The Lord does that. He loves us. And lastly, understand that you're learning. The group, well, I shouldn't say the last way to the last marker. I just want to point out that you are learning, and the group is a great place to learn. You can't practice this very well Sunday morning, you know, standing up to the microphone. We probably would turn your mic off, actually, if somebody just wandered up there and says, "God told me." We'll probably shut that off. But in the group is a good place to practice. So last thing on how to practice is just to pray for the person. You speak, okay? You speak the word, and then you pray for that person. I've heard it said that unless the Lord says otherwise, every prophetic word is a call to prayer. You don't want to just dump the word on somebody and leave them. You know, you're not like the newspaper boy, right, who throws the paper up and drives away. No, you're not that. You are the body of Christ. You're part of the group. You're the family. You pray for that person as well. All right, so it would be pretty comfortable to just end right here, but I'm not going to end right here. Instead, I think let's practice this. So let's do that. For the next few minutes, what I'm going to ask you to do is practice in your group of three or two, whatever you were in before, Let's practice listening to God for other people. We'll simply do it this way. Ask the other person, how can I pray for you? And so we're going to bless each other by praying for each other. So how can I pray for you? And then, once they tell you, you tell each other what you need to pray for, don't just start talking to God about that issue. Instead, take a little time. Be silent. Listen to God for one another. All right? And if God says something, if you have an impression, a word, a picture, speak it. If you don't, don't. It's not a failure if you don't. It's not like God doesn't love you or the other person. It's just, we're going to practice a little bit here. And not everybody says a prophetic word every time we get together. That doesn't happen. But we'll practice it here. So I think the best thing to do is to set a time limit on this. Helen, we have a break right after this. Is that right? Announcements and then a break. All right. Well, what I'm going to say is, because you might be a little bit more comfortable if you're not right on top of another group, you know, that maybe we'll be give you some permission to scatter around the room and outside the room. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to send search parties out for those who leave the room at the right time so we can come back and stay on schedule. We'll be okay, Helen, if we were, when would you want the announcements to be happening? No later than 10:40. No later than 20 minutes. You miss the prize if you're not here in 20 minutes. All right. Very good. Well, hey, God bless you. Have fun. Just listen and for each other and pray for each other.